gentlemen, your attention, please.
Hello, Chicago.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Monday, Monday.
It's time for the biggest train wreck in Chicago radio history.
Ignition sequence start. 3, 2, 1. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Here's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
Oh, this is nice. Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. We're going to talk to Lou Kanellis about the Andrew Luck thing happening this weekend. We'll talk to Lou at 8:35. But first, I wanted to grab her before she walked out of the studio. Andrea Darlis, I never get to see you.
I never do either. We have the occasional text. I hear you now more, and I can listen to you more now.
This is the problem with texts. No one picks up the phone anymore.
I know.
I mean, think about it. I've texted you probably 100 times this month. We've talked twice.
I know. Yeah. And once was at a charity event.
Oh, yeah, that's
Foundation.
Right. Oh, wow, that's right. That seems like such a long time ago.
That was so much fun. And, you know, I saw George Went twice that week because I played in the golf outing.
We did a cancer fundraiser at Navy Pier. George Went was the featured guy, and we did this Bears bit. That's so funny that you say that. I forgot all about that.
You know, can I just tell you, I love to watch you in action because we had George Went, Jeremy Roenick.
Oh, yeah.
Otis Roenick was Wilson. There.
Otis.
All these big Chicago celebrities.
I love them.
And you are so funny. You just go up and you're like, hey, JR, I need you to sign this for my charity auction. And
I've known Roenick forever. And we were supposed to get together at the Hawks convention, of course, in typical Roenick way. He was late.
Okay.
So I missed him. So we were going to hook up that night. Yeah. But Otis, I love double nickel. Otis Wilson looks great.
And do you remember what I did that night? So you had everything written down because you write everything down, which is great. So
you got to have a script if there's 1,000 people in the audience.
I know. And you put Jeremy Roenick, but you didn't write. When you write, you don't write and then start on the next line. You continue it. So you put Jeremy Roenick and then Otis Wilson, and you put the 27 under Otis Wilson's name. So I introduced him, and I said, oh, number 27, Otis Wilson. And as soon as I said it, I went, oh, my God, I'm born and raised here. I know,
right.
Otis is 55.
Yes, of course.
So but we're in the middle of this very passionate fundraiser for H Foundation.
Cancer fundraiser.
So I apologized after, and he goes, I thought you had to have known. He said, I thought, what was she talking about? So, of course, I just blamed
you. Do you understand? I was on the 85 Bears.
I know. Hey, yeah. Super Bowl shuffle. I still have that on a VHS tape somewhere.
Oh,
but I did
VHS.
Apologize. He said, yeah, no, don't worry. I knew it was just a very unintentional mistake, and I just blamed you.
He's the best. Thank you. You can always blame me for everything.
I did.
By
the
way,
McMurray wrote it down wrong.
We raised over $750,000 that night.
I know.
For cancer research that stays right here in Chicago.
I know.
That was a big deal.
Thank you for having me or asking me to co-host that with you.
Well, you're fun.
You are fun, and I had brought people to that, and they got so into those auction items. I mean, we were all spending money like crazy. I had to Venmo my friend Becky, you know, for the Chicago flag that I bought.
They're coming
back every year now, so you get a lot of new fans and followers.
That's good stuff. Are you having a good summer?
I am. I can't believe it's almost over.
Oh, jeez. My son's already back at school. He's been at school. You know, he started last Monday.
By the way, he's a freshman, right?
I love when people say, congratulations, you have a freshman. It's like, I haven't done anything.
It's like
you just kept him alive.
And
right.
You know what? And you put up a picture of yourself when you were younger, and your son is the spitting image of you as a child.
Did you notice? That was fifth grade, by the way. And the reason that I put that up there is because, you know, I'm a fashionista. I'm not a fashionista. I'm a fashion guy. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Right? That was a plaid sport coat. Did you notice that in fifth grade?
I brought my A game.
Curtis, you saw that, right? Okay. All right.
I did see it.
Oh, there you are.
How could you miss it?
I know. You really couldn't miss it.
Oh, my God. It was cute, though.
Brown, by the way. Brown plaid. Whoever thought of putting brown and plaid together back in the day?
Right.
Late 70s, right. Early 80s. Hey, I got a great idea. I'm a brown plaid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You pulled it off.
No. Nobody can pull that off. It's just terrible.
Well, I thought you did.
Yeah.
Did you have a picture on there?
I didn't see anything.
I did. I had, well, Mary Sandberg Boyle, our our vice president. What's her title? News director of operations.
Mm-hmm. She's in charge.
She is. She's awesome because she's so efficient. Don't you think? Like she will. It used to be like, hey, let's partake in our galleries. But she's almost like, hey, if your name is on a show, you need to send a picture.
So no, she kind of scares people into
she scared me into sending it. And I said, this is an awful picture. I said, you can pick one of two.
People want the awful pictures.
I thought she'd pick one. I'm wearing my Hard Rock Cafe and my plaid tennis skirt in the 90s.
That's a great
playing
look.
Tennis with my Bon Jovi hair.
Oh, yeah. I love the big
and
hair in
Mary's
the 90s.
Mary's so funny. She goes, oh, I miss big hair.
Oh, I do. I loved it. Yeah, took me right back to college. I love
know.
That. That was wonderful.
That was a great picture, though.
It's great to see you.
You too, and you're the best. I love seeing you.
I love you.
Will I see you next week?
Two weeks.
I have a show in 2 weeks.
Okay. Right. I don't know. I have no idea.
So let's make a date. I'll see you then.
All right.
All right. Love you, Pete.
Andrea Darlis, everybody. Okay. Do we remember the skit from SNL? We remember the Bears skit, right? Curtis, you're producing tonight. You remember the Bears skit,
even though
you're younger. Da Bears. There is a Bob Swirsky pop-up bar in downtown Chicago, and it opens tomorrow. So you can go visit this. You can check it out. You can take the pictures. Remember the skit? Yeah. So we're going to talk to the owner of that bar coming up next. It's 720 WGN.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to another edition of Bill Swirsky Superfan. I'm Bob Swirsky, and I want to thank everyone for sending those cards to my brother Bill, who recently had another heart attack.
Oh, man. We all remember the Bears skit on SNL. That bar was called Swirsky's Bar. Come on, Chris Farley having the grabber. How would you like to go to that bar? Well, now you can. There's a brand new Swirsky Superfan pop-up bar inside Timothy O'Toole's right here in downtown in Streeterville. Joining us is the owner of Timothy O'Toole's, Umberto Martinez Jr. Jr., how are you, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Junior, what a great idea. I saw this and I just couldn't believe it. Who came up with this idea?
Actually, it was a combination of our marketing director downtown and the general manager, Nick Head and Angela Luzo, being those two people.
Man, I love it. I mean, it made me very, very happy when I heard about this. When can the general public come to Timothy O'Toole's and sit in Swirsky's bar?
Kicking it off on the home opener, so the Thursday night Packer game.
Thursday night Packer game, Bears-Packers. It doesn't get any bigger than this. Paint a picture of the pop-up bar for me, because I remember three things from the SNL skit. Of course, George Went as Bob Swirsky. You have Chris Farley having the heart attacks, and of course, the beer.
Absolutely. What we're doing is we're kind of reenacting the scene. The background will be very similar. We're going to have the super fan wall.
Okay.
When you walk in, we're hoping to even have the table set up. We don't know if that's going to fly or not, given the business parameters, but we're going to definitely try and give it a shot. But it's going to have the similarities. We're going to have different props for people to use, mustaches, aviator glasses, hats, the bear sweaters, different things for people to take pictures using the same background, hopefully kind of playing right along with us.
I love that. You got to get George Went to stop by when he's in town. I know he lives in L.A., and he tries not to come to Chicago in the wintertime because he just can't take the snow anymore. But we did this skit at a fundraiser, and to this day, he remembers every single line of that skit. It's so funny.
That's amazing. Yeah, we could only hope. That's definitely something that we're on the lookout for. We don't know if there's a possibility, but if it gains momentum, you just never know who might pop in. As a matter of fact, we're having our comedians from Comedians You Should Know on Wednesdays reenact the skit for us so we can pop it up in a short video on our website and let people know kind of where we're going with it.
When you were planning Swirsky's Bar, did you try on different types of mustaches?
I have a couple because I've been known to dress as Ditka for Halloween a couple of times. I was fortunate enough to go to Richard Dent's Halloween party a few years ago, and he was not the friendliest looking at me wearing that outfit for whatever reason, but I pulled it off to the best of my capabilities.
It's so funny because those 85 Bears now, I mean, they hated Ditka back in the day. Now they can tolerate him. Some of them respect him. But when you have that sweater on and the glasses and the mustache, it takes them right back to the days where Iron Mike used to just scream in their face. Now, Timothy.
Oh, absolutely.
Timothy O'Toole's, I heard this and I just want to confirm it. USA Today named Timothy O'Toole's here in Chicago the best sports bar in Chicago. Is that true?
Fortunately, I can say that yes. This year we were awarded that prestigious award, and we couldn't be any happier.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
It is. You know, we've been at it for a long time. You got to figure 27 years later, we've gotten pretty good at what we do. We've been named Best Chicago Bears Bar by several publications in the past. So, you know, it's one of those things that comes and goes, but over the years, we've managed to stay pertinent, and for us to win it 27 years later again, we have won similar awards in the past. It means a lot. It means that we really put our focus into our sporting events, our staff's committed, and we've become kind of a legacy bar in Chicago, being in that spot for as long as we've been. Before we were there, that was Dingbats, where Mr. T was a bouncer, threw a midget on T and became famous.
Right,
so,
yeah.
A lot of history.
How long has Timothy O'Toole's been there?
Since 92.
92. I remember when I first started in Chicago in 98, I was doing the night show at WCKG from 7 to 11, and we would go down there easily once a week after the show.
Oh, I greatly appreciate that. Thank you.
So I spent a lot of, I think I spent enough money that you could put together a Swirsky's Superfan Bar. That's what's
going to happen.
We'll have to give you a sweater. Swirsky Superfan Pop-Up Bar opens next week. Bears-Packers Thursday Night Football as the best sports bar in Chicago. Junior, tell me, how big is next Thursday night, Bears-Packers?
You know, after last year's start, I think this is we have to win this one. It's just the momentum's got to be set early. You know, there's a lot of competition. We're in the toughest division in my eyes, and we got to start. There's a lot of expectation, a lot of promise.
Right.
I think Trubisky needs to step up, and
yes,
we need to do it.
They're so
huge.
The expectations for the Bears this year is if we don't make it to the Super Bowl, it's a blown season. It really is.
I have to agree with you. It's going to take a lot. I mean, we got to go far.
Am I the only one that gives the Bears my money? I'm a season ticket holder.
Ah, smart.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure, you know, it's cyclical. We have Cubs season tickets, and it's one of those when they're great, everybody wants them, and when they're not, it's no different than, you know, when they struggle, even now.
Yeah.
It's like it was 10 years ago. It's people, I don't want to say it's fair weather, but it's just there's so many different things going on in the city. It's tough, but I think it's a great time to be a Bears season ticket holder, though.
Well, especially for the Bears. I mean, in late December, you're not going to sit in the freezing cold if they're, you know, 3-11. That's just not going to happen. I'm not doing it. Absolutely not. So, again,
don't blame you.
Swirsky's Superfan Pop-Up Bar inside Timothy O'Toole's. Junior, give everybody the details. It opens next week.
Open next week, obviously for the opener. We're going to continue it, hopefully through the bear season, if everything plays along right. And it's just, once again, an opportunity for people to pop in, take some pictures, kind of be nostalgic about it. I know a lot of the younger kids probably haven't even heard of this the skit before, it being on SNL, but I think when you say Da Bears, and people remember what it's about, or you put a perspective on it. So we're hoping that people come down, have a good time, understand that it's kind of our take on it, and just to revive what's going on with the Bears' 100-year anniversary. A lot of things going to happen this year. We're hoping for a great season, so we're just trying to ride the wave and keep people just a little bit more laid back if we're struggling at some times.
I like how you preface that at the end. I love it. Junior, thanks so much. It's a wonderful idea, and I'll be stopping by Timothy O'Toole's very, very soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. You have a great night.
All right, man. Take care. Timothy O'Toole's Swirsky's Superfan Pop-Up Bar opens up a week from Thursday for the Bears-Packers game.
The Bears!
The Bears!
Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. You want to talk about the biggest sports story of the year, it's probably the biggest story in months. Let's bring in our old buddy, the lead sports anchor at Fox 32 Chicago. It's Lou Kanellis. Lou, the biggest sports story, if not the biggest story of the year so far, Andrew Luck retires on Saturday night.
Yeah, what a shocker, huh? And it came during the Bears game with Luck on the football field. Crazy. What a crazy experience, especially for myself, who was standing on the sideline, on the Bears sideline, next to the players, and the players are asking, is this true? Then fans in the crowd at Lucas Oil Stadium are asking me if it's true. And again, this is happening as Andrew Luck is standing on the other sideline with his teammates.
He gets booed off the field after the game. What'd you think about that? And I've heard two different stories. I've heard one, the crowd was booing, and I just heard it was a small section.
Oh, I don't know about a small. I mean, one needs to define a small section. It was loud enough that I heard it.
Wow.
And it was loud enough that, yeah, I mean, small section, nothing. There were enough fans that were unhappy. And I saw fans taking off their jerseys and throwing them on the football field. And, listen, I feel, number one, let's get a couple of things straight. Andrew Luck is one of the nicest professional athletes out there. The guy was terrific in his six-year career with the Indianapolis Colts. All right, first overall pick in 2012, Pete.
Yep.
He led the Colts to the playoffs his first 3 years.
Yep.
And he was injury prone. All he did was battle injuries throughout his career. And reportedly, some of those injuries were misdiagnosed by the Colts physicians. So, at the age of 29, or just short of the age of 30, I think he turns 30 next week, if the man decides he wants to walk away from the game and leave all this cash on the table, that's his prerogative. I felt horrible for him because he's done so much for Indianapolis,
right,
for the community, for the franchise. The story was not supposed to break in the middle of a football game with him on the sidelines supporting his teammates. There was a plan for it to come out on Sunday. Now, who leaked the story to Adam Schefter at ESPN? I have my opinion. I'll keep it to myself. But someone obviously wanted to embarrass Andrew Luck and leaked it during the football game,
right,
which was unfortunate because last year's comeback player of the year was put in a real uncomfortable situation. And even at that, he held a 28-minute press conference after the game on the spot and didn't miss a beat.
Right.
And we are all entitled to make our own decisions. And if you don't agree with it, that's your problem.
Are people upset that they handed him a check for about $25 million back in March? Are they upset that they were blindsided? What do they want? I don't get it. This guy was hurting. He wants to play in the NFL. His body just didn't listen.
Well, you know, it's almost the equivalent of Michael Jordan walking away. And if you're a fan who's purchased tickets to a game, to a Colts game, season tickets, and the best player on the team isn't going to be there, and now you're like, I don't want to go to the games anymore. Now, the question is, are you entitled at that point for a refund?
Right.
You're not. What's the difference? I mean, what's the difference if, I mean, there's no telling when he was going to come back this year. He absolutely was going to be able to be there for the first couple of games of the season, and that this franchise was going to have to go with Jacoby Brissett as its quarterback, and there was no telling on how long he'd be out. You know, how long would it be, an extended period throughout the season? No one knew. I guess on the surface, I understand the immediate anger of fans. I'm not sure I would take my $150 Andrew Luck jersey off and throw it on the football field.
Right, I don't get that.
But there were a lot of heated, disappointed people. And, you know, you're coming off a big Colts season last year. Again, he was a comeback player of the year.
Yep.
They've really strengthened filled some of the holes that they had on last year's squad. They won a playoff game last year over the Texans. So I know that the fans in Indianapolis were excited about this season, and now they feel like the rug was taken out from under them.
We're talking with Lou Kanellis. Let me tell you a quick Chicago story about Andrew Luck. This is so Chicago. About 4 years ago when Luck went down, Matt Hasselbeck was his backup. You remember this, right? How old was he? 39, 40 years old as his backup? Matt's uncle cuts hair here in Chicago at the same place where I get my hair cut. He told me 4 years ago that Luck is more injured than we all know. He told me at the time, this is Matt Hasselbeck's uncle, told me at the time that he didn't think Andrew Luck would ever come back. This guy's got an injury. He had an injured shoulder at the time and then a lacerated kidney. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, the guy has been through a lot. He's also
done a ton in his 6 years, which is one of the reasons why, you know, these fans are upset. 171 passing touchdowns, second most by a quarterback in his first six seasons. Four-time Pro Bowler. Over 23,000 passing yards, third most by a quarterback in his first six seasons. Jeez. Last year's comeback player of the year. I mean, this is a huge loss. I had one reporter tell me as we were waiting to go inside the Bears locker room that he thought it was the equivalent of Michael Jordan walking away from the game.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure it's to that extreme,
right.
But this is one hell of a player in his prime at the age of 29, all right, walking away from a franchise at the most important position.
Lou, Chuck Pagano was the Colts coach, and now he's the Bears D coordinator. He released his statement today, and I know you've read it, but I'm going to read it for people right now. Just a few quick lines, because I absolutely loved it. Chuck Pagano said this: Andrew Luck is one of the best individuals, teammates, and competitors I have ever been around in my lifetime. Forget about an outstanding football player and leader of men. He is selfless, brilliant, and always prepared like no other for the team, and carried the Colts organization on his back, including 7 fourth quarter comebacks in his rookie season, 2 AFC South Division titles, 3 consecutive playoff berths to start his career, and the 2014 AFC Championship game. And it goes on, and Chuck had just a wonderful statement to say about Andrew Luck.
And listen, I'm a huge Pagano fan. Now, there are those out there who feel that Pagano wasn't the right coach for Andrew Luck, and Pagano actually ended up losing his job because Luck, you know, wasn't there for that final season. And I think that final season that Pagano was on the job in Indianapolis, they finished 4-12. A real quick story. So I'm on the sideline getting ready to start our pregame show on Fox Saturday night, and I'm watching Pagano come out onto the football field, and I see him make his way to Colts owner Jim Irsay on the sidelines of the football field. This is probably 45 minutes before kickoff. And they're talking, and I went over to shoot some video because I was going to post it on social media. Just, you know, hey, Pagano getting together with his former boss,
right,
who once fired him. And I'm watching the two talk, and Irsay is getting animated, but angry animated, in talking to Pagano. And I'm thinking to myself, what could he possibly be angry about? He's the one who fired Pagano.
Right.
Now I know, I'm sure he was telling Pagano, you're not going to believe this, but, and even to even follow up on that, Danny Trevathan after the game said that a number of the Bears were talking about it at halftime. So I'm sure that it was,
oh, wow,
a story that had already been floating around the stadium at Lucas Oil. And, yeah, it's crazy, but Chuck Pagano had many great years, you know, as head coach with the Colts, thanks in large part to Andrew Luck, who, listen, is going to go off. I'm not convinced that the guy doesn't come back.
Right.
I really truly believe that he'll get himself right. He'll get himself healthy, and he may tell the Colts, here, you can have your money back. Release my rights so I can sign with another team because I don't trust your team doctors anymore.
Oh, wow. We're talking with Lou Kanellis. Rob Gronkowski was 29 when he retired. How come people didn't get upset at him?
Yeah, exactly. Well, because he doesn't play the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Exactly. If Tom Brady retired at the age of 29, be a different story.
Can we talk Bears real quick? Final preseason game is Thursday. They're taking on the Titans. None of the starters are going to play.
Aren't you happy with that?
I am happy with that because you want to protect your best players.
Absolutely.
Do not play them in the preseason. Why are we all upset? We got the Bears-Packers a week from Thursday.
Well, listen, anyone that's upset forgot about this Bears team last year. That, by the way, only two other teams in the NFL were healthier than the Bears last season. You forgot that Leonard Floyd, okay, was injured in the Broncos preseason game last year along with Adam Shaheen. You watched this weekend the Houston Texans lose their number one running back in Lamar Miller playing in a meaningless preseason game. And really, if you think about how much, because I keep hearing this from fans, well, they're not going to be sharp for the Packers game. Were they sharp? Were they sharp in the first half of that Packers game last season? Yes, they were. And
yep.
You know what? Mitchell Trubisky played 40 snaps last year in 5 preseason games. Okay, listen, this is the right decision. This is the way it's going to be in the NFL. Matt Nagy is leading the way,
yep.
And this will begin. This will be the start of a new, in my opinion, this is my opinion, I don't know anything, a new two-game preseason schedule with an extra game or two added to the regular season.
Eddie Pinheiro, our new kicker, 58-yarder the other night.
Finally, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I talked to him afterwards, and I can't help but believe that he was at ease, all right? He felt, and he said he was, because I interviewed him afterwards. You know, he doesn't have to worry about splitting kicks now with Elliott Fry. He knows that he is going to get every opportunity to kick off, kick extra points, kick field goals from wherever it might be that Matt Nagy decides. There is a level of comfort he now has in knowing he's the guy, and he went out there and he booted. He probably had another 5 yards on that kick. All right, and then he came back and he was fired up, and it was great to see his teammates,
right.
You know, celebrate with him. This is an important position. We all know that. I'm glad the way it worked out. Now let's see what happens on Thursday against Tennessee.
And you and I are both homers. Thursday Night Football, 100th NFL season, the oldest rivalry in the NFL, kicking it off, Bears-Packers at Soldier Field on the lakefront. It doesn't get any bigger than this.
Dude, I need about 60 more tickets to satisfy all my friends that have been calling
me.
And I don't even play. I'm like, why are you calling me? Well, you do the shows on Fox. I'm like, I have two tickets, and my wife made me give them to her. Do you not understand happy wife, happy life?
Right. Yes. I will be at Boots Tailgate before the game. Will I see you there?
You won't see me at the tailgate, but can my wife come in place of me?
Absolutely. Yes.
All right, great.
All right, Luke Kanellis, check him out tonight. Thank you for taking time out. I know you're on at 9 o'clock. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Now back to Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
Boy, I got some really sad news today. Eddie Money has stage 4 esophageal cancer. He's got cancer of his esophagus. Terrible news. Friend of the show. I've known Eddie for years and years. Sent him a text today. I said, man, we're all praying for you. That's just terrible news. And apparently it's spread. Now, in, of course, Eddie form, Eddie has to promote something. Real Money is Eddie Money's show, which premieres on Access TV. Another season premieres on Access TV on September 12th at 8:30. Now, they released the clip today. That's when we all found out that he had cancer. Can we play the first clip?
I thought I was just going in to get a checkup, and he told me that I got cancer.
Eddie has been diagnosed with stage 4 esophageal cancer. It's in his esophagus at the, you know, top of his stomach is where the tumor is, and there's it's also spread to his liver.
God, that's just...
When he found out that I had cancer, and it was like stage 4, and it was in my liver, and my lymph nodes, and a little bit in my stomach, it hit me really, really hard.
It's terrible. Just terrible news. Stage 4 cancer, it spread to his liver. If you remember, Walter Payton passed away of liver cancer. My father died of liver cancer. That is not good. Not good at all. Wow. I mean, that's horrible news. That's rough stuff right there. Eddie Money. We're all praying for the guy, man. That's too bad. Curtis, I know you're young. Are you familiar with any Eddie Money tunes?
A few. If you were to play them, I probably would recognize them, but I'm not like a super diehard Any Money fan.
Two Tickets to Paradise, Think I'm in Love. Come on, man.
Two Tickets to Paradise, all right.
I mean, this guy was the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah.
Eddie Mahoney was his name. He was a New York City police officer, left, and then went into singing. He's just a character. That's just bad news, man. That's terrible. How about this song? You know this, the beginning of this song right here? Two Tickets to Paradise. Hold on, Curtis. I have another one for you. Take Me Home Tonight. Come on. This was a huge hit right here. Eddie Money. That rings a bell?
Yeah, this one I recognize.
Okay, good. Thank God for that. So our thoughts and prayers are with Eddie Money, stage 4 esophageal cancer, which is at the end of his esophagus in the top of his stomach, and it spread to his lymph nodes and liver. And his show is on Access TV next Thursday. I'm sorry, 2 weeks from Thursday, on September 12th at 8:30. AXS. Man, that's rough stuff. It's tough. This is why we throw cancer fundraisers, because of things like this.
Yeah.
All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Also, our text line. Yes, I'm getting your text messages about, we were talking about Andrew Luck. Yes, I agree with you 100%. The guy's body hurts. Let him retire. And he did not get a lot of protection early in his career. He got beat up a lot.
Yeah, and they never addressed it for several years. They always kind of went with the wideouts, and they never addressed the big need, which was protection, offensive line.
Right, of
course. Same sort of thing Jay Cutler went through in his first few years
here. Oh, no. Don't compare Cutty to anybody.
Oh, I'm not. He's the worst. But at the very beginning of Cutler's career, he was getting obliterated.
If people remember, Walter Payton, the greatest running back that's ever lived, played with the worst offensive lines ever in the 70s. He got beat up so bad, and still he continued to play and play and play. I mean, just those the highlights. I saw him again this weekend. They're going to reveal the statue next week. I can't wait for that video at the game, when I'm at the game.
And Jarrett's going to be around there too, Jarrett Payton.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be heavily involved. I know, wasn't he doing something with WGN-TV to promote something with about the legacy of his dad?
I'm sure.
I thought there was something out there that...
Yeah, the special Wednesday, next Wednesday night. Yeah. He was on Cochran today.
That's what I was talking about, yeah.
We'll have him on next week.
That'll be fun.
Jarrett's a good dude, man. That whole family is fantastic. All right, quick break, and after the top of the hour, we're going to explain why you need B12 in your diet. And I'm not talking about... we're not going to take the supplements tonight, Curtis. So everybody on the show, which is
so nervous,
you and
me,
you're not going to take a supplement. You're going to get a shot in your butt.
Oh.
Dr. Jack is going to be coming in studio in a few minutes. It's 720 WGN. Oh, my God. My mouth is watering. They just walked in the studio. Curtis, are you okay? Good job wearing a white shirt tonight.
Not a good move on my part.
Smart. Most of us will be barbecuing Labor Day weekend. Let's bring in an expert. He is the owner and chef of Smoke Barbecue. It's Barry Sorkin. Wow. You have a plate of ribs right in front of you.
Yes. I never like to come empty-handed.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Are you an expert on ribs?
I like to think so.
When did you start barbecuing? Did it run in your family? This had to come from somewhere.
No, I mean, I grew up in a Jewish family, so ribs were not on the menu often.
Well, with a name like Barry Sorkin, you should be a producer in Hollywood.
Right. Well, I chose a different path. But, I started cooking in my backyard probably when I was in my mid to late 20s.
Okay.
Kind of did it as a hobby for a while. Worked for it in a corporate job for about 7 years and just sort of barbecued on the side to keep my brain from going insane. And just kind of came to a head where it was like, man, I really like doing this, and I really don't like going to work. So I thought I'd see if I could find a way to make that work.
So let me get this straight. You had a real job, a corporate job, and you just... Were you the guy in the neighborhood that everybody wanted to come over because they knew that you were barbecuing?
Yeah.
I have a neighbor like that. He's got two different grills. Did you have two grills?
I had multiple grills. And do you also tell this guy every day that he should open up a restaurant? Because I got that a lot. I was like, oh, you should open up a barbecue place.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I never took it all that seriously until one day I did.
Wow. And how long? So you worked in the corporate world for how many years?
About seven.
Seven years?
Eight, yeah.
Did you go to a restaurant and start working there, or did you just open up your own place?
You know, I'd work in some restaurants while I was going to college and in between colleges and at various times in my life. So I had, you know, I'd been exposed to the industry, but I had never run a restaurant. I never owned a restaurant. Didn't really have a very deep background.
I love this story.
Yeah.
Because you just did your own research, didn't you?
I did. I did a lot of traveling. I went and ate barbecue in as many places as I could. I spent as much time in my backyard as I could. And, you know, listen, you got to make a lot of bad barbecue before you get it right. So it's trial and error.
Where's the first place you go to check out barbecue?
In what region?
Anywhere. You tell me. Do you go to Kansas City? Do you go to Texas? Where do you, Memphis?
There's a lot of great places around the country. My favorite region is Texas.
Texas.
I like Central Texas barbecue.
Okay.
As well as anything.
Where did the barbecue come in Kansas City? They're known for barbecue. Why is that?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a beef town, and yet their barbecue is much more pork focused. So I don't really know the history of Kansas City barbecue, to be honest. I can tell you more about the history of Texas barbecue, but I don't know Kansas City quite that well.
Where do you go in Texas?
I like some of the old school places. I mean, there's a whole new generation of barbecue in Central Texas. You've got Franklin's that has sort of spawned a whole new generation, but I also like the old school places. I like Louis Mueller's. I like Kreitz's. I like, Luling City Market. So there's, I mean, I could go on.
Give me the difference between the old and the new in Texas.
I feel like the old school, I mean, a lot of these places, you walk into them, they don't even look like restaurants. They look more like, prison blocks. You know, they're dark. They're all concrete and brick. The pits are made of brick. You know, in some cases, they've got open fires just burning on the floor and the smoke just kind of being sucked in to the side. I mean, you could trip over it. I could show you pictures.
You're kidding.
It's crazy.
Wow.
And they're usually doing a real simple, old school method. They're cooking, generally seasoning just with salt and pepper. They're cooking over post oak. But these are places that evolved out of old butcher shops,
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of that, that generation of migrants that came to this country, they didn't know much other than butchering meat. And so they opened up these butcher shops, and what they did, when meat was about to go bad, they would smoke it to get an extra couple of days out of it. And that's
right.
Sort of like the origin of Texas barbecue. And many of them don't look all that different. They look like these old industrial buildings. And they're just, they're just cooking, and there's a guy with a cleaver.
Barry Sorkin's here from Smoke Barbecue, S-M-O-Q-U-E. Why S-M-O-Q-U-E?
Well, we thought we were being clever,
uh-huh.
Like barbecue.
Sure.
But mostly it just confuses people. They tell us they can't find us online. They can't,
Well, that's when you have to get both spellings. So you got to
right.
get it in there.
Right.
Yes. Nice. You make your own sauce.
We do.
Where do you start? I mean, do you find a sauce that you like in Texas and you think, okay, I'm going to make it even better in Chicago?
You could do it that way. I mean, that's not really the way we came about it. I mean, to me, great barbecue is all about a balance of flavors. You know, you've got the smokiness in the meat, you've got the sweetness and maybe a little spiciness from the rub, and then you've got the tanginess and maybe even a little more sweetness in the sauce.
Right.
So it's like all about bringing those things together, and you can use any of those elements to create the different flavor profiles. So if you were going to do a sweeter rub, you might go with a tangier sauce. If you were going to do a spicier rub, you might go with a sweeter sauce. So you
okay.
can do it.
Right.
You can go about it in a lot of different ways. But that's how we came at it. It's like, what do we want the end product to taste like? What do we want? Which flavor elements do we want the various components to contribute? And
right.
then you build them from there.
How long did it take you to perfect this?
Oh, God. I mean, hours and hours and weeks and months. Because, for the brisket, for example.
I can't wait to talk brisket. It's on my list here.
Well, it takes 14 hours to make a brisket. And so
low and slow, people.
That's how you got to do it.
Yes, definitely.
And it doesn't do any good to taste the rub not on a brisket. And so every time you add something to the rub, you got to go, now I got to cook a brisket. And you go, it's a little too much salt. You adjust the salt down. Now I got to make another brisket.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's not like cooking chicken breasts where it's like, all right, I'll do it in 5 minutes.
Right.
I'll adjust the seasoning. I'll do another one. I mean, it's a months long process of getting a rub right.
I'm telling you, I've been to so many people's houses where they have the green egg outside and they always overcook the brisket. People overcook it.
It's really hard.
I know. Brisket when do you hard. Stop? Do you have the app? How does that work? What do you do?
Well, I mean, we...
With the thermometer in it?
Because,
you have the thermometer and you can look at your phone and you can see it. Okay, it's at a certain temperature. We got to pull it off.
Well, brisket's particularly tough because half of it is twice as thick as the other half of it.
Yeah.
And so by the time that thick half is done, it's really easy to have dried out the thinner half.
Right.
And so, I mean, a lot of it has to do with the way you trim it. We try to trim down our briskets to kind of flatten them out a little bit so that they're a little bit more even and cook a little bit more evenly. It's also about knowing where your hot spots, particularly at home, where your hot spots in the smoker are, and you want the thicker part of the brisket facing those hotter spots.
Okay.
And the thinner part facing the cooler spots. But it's also about pulling it at the right time. I mean, there's a pretty short window between done and overdone. You could do it by temperature. Typically, we look for about 200 to 203 degrees at the thickest point.
Okay.
But you know, you do enough of meat, you can do it with your finger. You can just feel it. You know what it's
really. Yeah. You're so used to that now.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time you cooked brisket, did you overcook it?
You got to make a lot of bad barbecue first. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't have a lot of disasters.
So how long for the brisket?
We do it, you know, depending on the size, anywhere between 12 and 14 hours.
12 and 14 hours.
Yeah.
God, that's wonderful.
That's assuming you're using a whole packer cut. Like a lot of grocery stores will sell what's called a brisket flat,
okay,
which is a much smaller version of the cut. Not good for barbecue. If you're trying to cook a brisket and you get a brisket flat, which is actually the more expensive cut.
Really?
It's good for braising. It's good for making corned beef, but it's not good for smoking because it doesn't have enough internal fat to stay moist during the long cook. So by the time it's tender, it's also dry.
So if I go to Costco and pick up a brisket, that's not good?
Some Costcos will have a full packer cut, but make sure you have, you know, it should weigh between 12 and 14 pounds, 12 to 14 pounds when it's whole. Some Costcos have them, some don't.
Okay. Got it.
But if you see a cut that's 6 or 7 pounds, that's probably a flat.
Barry Sorkin's here. Smoke Barbecue. How many locations in the city?
One and a half. We've got our original location on Pulaski, which is our full-on experience. And then we've got a food hall location at Revival Food Hall downtown.
Food halls are the next big thing, aren't they?
They are. They're popping up everywhere.
Now, what is that? Is it just a food court? They just call it a hall?
It's kind of what a food court always should have been. You know, it's a food court, but instead of, you know, your average run-of-the-mill chain restaurants, you've got a lot of really great local brands and local restaurants that are putting out great food.
So it's exactly the same thing, but it's local.
Right. And it's better. I mean, you know, Revival has got just a great selection of restaurants. You've got, you know, Budlong Hot Chicken. You've got Taco. Not trying to plug anybody, but
sure.
I mean, you've got a lot.
Budlong was in here. They did something at Lollapalooza and they came in. They have another great story. There's a lot of these local places here in Chicago that just kind of came up.
Yeah.
You know, and you root for people like that.
I think Chicago is friendly to local restaurants. You know, not so much from a regulation standpoint, but I think the population in Chicago likes their local restaurants.
Are we a foodie town now?
I think we are officially a foodie town, and have been for a long time. I think we're officially a barbecue town now.
I know. When did that happen?
Like, I think it
three
happened,
or 4 years ago?
I think it was, it started to happen. I mean, we were opened about 12 and a half years ago.
Okay.
And there wasn't a whole lot then. And since we've opened, I can probably count 40 places that have opened. And many of them have done well. So I think Chicago's officially a barbecue town.
How come you're not 450 pounds? You're in great shape. You look like you're a marathon runner.
I'm not. I can promise you that. But I will tell you that the stress of running a restaurant counterbalances the eating habits that come with running a restaurant.
Yes, you don't feel like eating because you're stressed out.
Yes.
Barry Sorkin's here, Smoke Barbecue. What's your website?
It's www.smokebarbecue. It's smokuebbq.com.
Okay, we're going to take a break and come back. I'm going to ask you about the kind of wood you use. We're going to talk rubs, and maybe you can give some pointers to people that are barbecuing this weekend.
Okay.
All right, it's 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. In studio with us is the owner and chef of Smoke Barbecue, smokuebbq.com is their website. It's Barry Sorkin. Let's talk rubs.
Okay.
How do you come up with a rub, and how do you know what works?
Well, you know, when I start a rub, I always start with the salt level. Because, you know, you can, with other ingredients, you can adjust up and down. Like, if I want to have, you know, cumin as part of my flavor profile, I can have heavier cumin or lighter cumin. But there is a right amount of salt and a wrong amount of salt. And so, like, I start with how much salt do I need?
Okay.
And then I start with, then from there I go to how much total rub do I want on that slab of ribs.
I'm taking notes, by the way. I just want you to know.
Yeah,
that's
please.
What I'm writing. Okay, keep going.
I better make it profound then.
Yes.
And then, so once I know that, let's say I want a tablespoon of salt per slab, and I know that I want 3 tablespoons of rub, then I know I've got 2 tablespoons to work with to build the flavor profile.
Okay.
And then I can start playing with different ingredients. But I think when you're building your first, start simple.
All right.
There's a lot in barbecue culture about trying to find that secret ingredient and what's that, you know, that special thing that's going to make my ribs unique or my brisket unique. And I think, especially when you're starting, like, simple barbecue is good. You can make great barbecue, as I said, in Texas with just salt and pepper. The more important thing is, you know, smoke it right.
Right.
And get it and cook it properly.
Don't overcook it.
Yeah. And so, you know, I tell people to keep it simple and then build from there. You know, start with salt and pepper, maybe add a little sugar if you want, and then start adding things and tweaking and adjusting from there.
It takes a while, doesn't it?
It does.
Your favorite sauce, what do you like?
Favorite commercial sauce?
I like the vinegar sauce.
Oh, favorite style.
Yes, favorite style.
It depends on what. Like, I like a vinegar sauce on a pulled pork sandwich.
Okay.
But I like a thicker sauce on ribs. I think it clings a little better. Like, I wouldn't put a vinegar sauce on a slab of ribs. And on brisket, candidly, I mean, I get, whacked in the head for this because I know people put sauce on our brisket.
Okay.
I like brisket without sauce. Like, if brisket is cooked properly, sauce should be optional.
Nice and tender.
Yes.
Hold on. We have Curtis, who just walked in the studio and grabbed some ribs. What are you, Mike 6? Okay.
Yeah, I'm over here.
Okay, go ahead.
It's phenomenal.
Are you a barbecue expert?
Well, not an expert, but I could be known to judge a few barbecue competitions every once in a while.
All right.
It's really good. We had David Jennings in here earlier.
Oh my gosh, I wish we had a camera. As soon as Barry started on the air, Jennings at a beeline came in the studio within 2 minutes.
Walked very quietly and deliberately. It wasn't a beeline, but this stuff is outstanding.
Well, the meat just falls off the bone. That's the key, isn't it?
And it falls off in one big piece.
Barry, how do you do that with ribs consistently?
Well, truthfully, I mean, a lot of people would say they shouldn't fall off the bone. And, like, the idea is that they should come clean, come off the bone clean. You shouldn't have to fight. But, you also don't want ribs that are so tender that they're just kind of falling apart on you. I like it to have a little bit of texture.
Okay.
These traveled. These had to get wrapped up and packed up, and they make their way from the restaurant to the studio.
Right.
So, they had just come out of the smoker. They were still hot, so they did steam a little bit in there, and that's part of the reason that they're as soft as they are. But generally speaking, what we're going for is, it should be a clean bite. You shouldn't be tugging on it. It shouldn't come out stringy, or it should come off cleanly and easily.
Right.
But not like, why is there even a bone there,
Right. Definitely. I want to get back to brisket for a second, because when you take the brisket off the grill and it sits on the plate, it's still cooking.
Right.
And that worries a lot of people, so they pull it off early.
Yes, and that's a good idea. You're going to get 5 to 10 degrees of carryover cooking when you pull a brisket off at, 190 degrees, 195 degrees.
Right. Wow. I mean, I love barbecue.
Me too.
I mean, it makes everybody happy. People are going to be barbecuing this weekend at their houses.
Yes.
Can you give them some advice, first of all, on the meat?
Yeah. I think it's important to start with a good product. I think, yes, barbecue will elevate any piece of meat, but the better you can get, the better your end product's going to be. I mean,
right.
If you buy if you're cooking a brisket, a higher grade of brisket's going to have more, intermuscular fat. That's all going to melt down and turn into, juiciness in the meat. Whereas if you get a really lean brisket, you're just not going to get that.
Right.
So I would definitely start with as good a cut as you can. If you're cooking ribs, look for nice marbling on the exterior.
Fat is flavor, isn't it?
Fat is flavor. There's no getting around it.
How about rubs for ribs? Simple. Start out simple.
Start out simple, and I have to, come clean. We don't keep it simple at the restaurant. I mean, there's like 15 different ingredients.
You've been doing it for 12 years, you said?
Right.
Okay.
Right. But I mean, if feel free to do that, but I think you're always better off with fewer ingredients than some wrong ingredients or some ingredients that are out of balance. And the more you add into it, the more it's got to be right. Whereas, you start with salt and pepper, as long as you don't oversalt it, it's going to be good.
Right. Okay. Well, can people get the barbecue flavor without a smoker? Can they get it on a normal grill? Do they have to get different pellets or that little that steel cup thing that you can, put the chips in?
You can get, it's going to be real tough on a gas grill. I mean, if you've got like a Weber kettle, you can smoke meat on that. You want to set up a fire on one side of the grill, put your meat on the other side of the grill so you're cooking over in direct heat.
Right.
You can throw some wood chunks on there directly on the grates, or directly on the coals, rather, to create some smoke. It's not going to be the same as cooking on an offset, but you can do a pretty good job. It's real difficult to get any real smoke flavor on these larger cuts of meat using a gas grill and chips.
I mean, look at everybody. Here comes Duffy. I mean, people are just coming in and just grab. See, you make everybody happy. You do.
We feed the hungry.
This is your job. Thank you for coming in, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I mean, you're everything there is to know about, barbecuing. I mean, you're a fun guest to have in.
Well, thanks. Let's talk again.
You could be our go-to guy.
All right.
Our go-to barbecue guy. Barry Sorkin, smokebarbecue.com, smokuebbq.com. And you have some great food on the menu. Give me your favorite sides before we go.
I like mac and cheese.
How do you go wrong with mac and cheese?
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't. Even bad mac and cheese is really good.
How about beans? Do you like the beans with the barbecue?
I do.
Because I'm not a beans guy.
I do. I think, you know, there's two styles of beans that I like.
Which is a good thing.
We do a Kansas City style bean at the restaurant, which actually goes in the smoker for about 3 hours. We put it in a real shallow pan.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
We put it underneath.
Is there bacon in it?
There is, a little bit of pork fat,
uh-huh.
But more importantly, it goes underneath the ribs that are smoking, and so those ribs, as they're cooking, are dripping into the beans.
Oh, my God. That sounds wonderful. Brisket chili is on your menu.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
That's wonderful.
Brisket chili is good. Brisket chili is good.
Yes. Hold on. Duffy just walked in.
Let me just explain what happened.
Yes.
They said there's barbecue in the studio.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know what? We get food at the radio station a lot.
Yeah.
I've been eating too much of it this summer, plus mm-hmm. the partying in the backyards. And everything.
Right, of course.
And drinking. So I said, you know what? I'm trying to... It's smoke. And I'm like, with the Q.
Yes.
And they're like, yeah. And I'm going, okay. And I just started trotting down the hallway.
Uh-huh. Smoke with the Q.
And I got the, no, the light's on you. No, coming right in.
People don't care. They see barbecues from Smoke Barbecue
smoke
and they
the
come
best.
Right in. Barry Sorkin, thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll see you soon. It's 720 WGN.
Give me the news. I got a package loving you.
720 WGN. My doctor is in the studio. This is nice. Dr. Jack Dibas from IVMeChicago.com, the IV clinic. It's good to see you again, man. How are you?
Good to see you, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Where are you traveling right now? Just to let people know, you're a real doctor and you work.
Correct.
Yes.
I do.
You go from patient to patient, trauma to trauma. What are you doing now? Right now?
Last night I was on trauma call up at St. Francis, but
okay.
Today I was back in Chicago, obviously working at the clinics, seeing
right.
patients.
Explain to people the IV clinics that you started. How did you come up with the idea, first of all? Because I'd like to recap this.
Sure. So one of my friends sent a quick email to a bunch of us and said, hey, check this out. There's a place out in Vegas where an anesthesiologist... yeah, exactly. immediate laughter that usually
right,
garners.
Right, of course.
Where an anesthesiologist had noticed that the people coming out of the operative state, post-op, they have the same symptoms as somebody being hung over.
Okay.
So they started giving them IVs.
Right.
And my friend said, hey, you should start one in Chicago. I said, maybe I could, but I'm not going to call it anything to do with hangovers because I immediately recognized all the other benefits.
Of course.
For instance, the first IVA I've ever gotten in my life was because I was sick.
Right.
I had food poisoning, couldn't stop throwing up, couldn't keep anything down.
Yep.
One of the anesthesiologists took me back, gave me an IV and some anti-nausea medicine. I was right as rain. And then a lot of guys in pro sports, you know.
Always get IVs.
Time. Yeah. So there are a lot of other reasons.
When I graduated from college, I lived with my best friend and his sister, and she worked at the hospital in Peoria, St. Francis Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was hungover, the paramedics would come over and give her an IV in our living room.
Yeah. It's kind of like one of those little trade secrets.
Yeah.
That everybody
I never knew that.
Knows about. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I was off. I want to say, how long have you been in business?
7 years. It'll be 7 years in December.
So we met probably a year after you opened,
yeah,
or probably
time.
Right around there.
Mm-hmm.
And I called you up and I said, listen, I'm going to Vegas in 2 days and I have the flu.
Yeah.
So I went over to your place. And what did you give me that day?
Probably gave you the cold and flu IV.
Okay.
Which we give you the fluids and we give you some high-dose vitamin C, which helps boost your immune system. Some B-complex, which boosts up your energy because, you know, you're kind of dragging when you get sick like that. We'll give
right.
you some other medicine, anti-inflammatory painkiller to knock out any aches and pains you have. And if you're nauseous, we give you the anti-nausea medicine, too.
I'm going to Vegas 2 weeks from Wednesday. Can you give me a five-hour energy drip?
Oh, yeah. That's basically what it is.
So explain to people the different types of IVs that you have there.
We have a myriad, Pete.
I mean,
a myriad.
Well,
a plethora.
I mean, there's
IVs.
Like 10 or 15 different ones.
There's a bunch. You know, we start off, like I said, just with the hangover and the cold and flu.
Yeah.
And then the athletic performance were really the first three.
Okay.
And then we added things like with sinusitis for migraines.
That's what I wanted to mention because I have some friends. Well, my friend Jane gets migraines all the time.
Yeah.
So how many do you go in? Does it help immediately or do you have to go in and have a few?
It pretty much helps immediately.
Really?
The sometimes if you're already sick, you know, running nose, cough, sore throat, the whole full-on sickness, it might take two.
Okay.
You know, one will make you feel 50% better. Two will really knock it out. I usually do it just before I'm getting sick. You know, when you wake up and you have a little tickle in your throat.
Yep.
And, you know, a little runny nose, then I get it. And at that point, it just knocks it right out. I haven't been sick in 7 years.
How about the migraines?
Migraines, that'll knock it out. We give, basically, that was formulated by one of my partners, Dr. Scott Yilk, who's an ER doc.
Okay.
So he sees plenty of migraines coming into the emergency department. He's at one of the busiest emergency departments in the state. And we give everything that he gives with the exception of the opioid. So we don't give any Dilaudid or anything like that.
Right. Obviously. Good for you. Yeah. So it's all doctors that are in charge.
Correct.
And you're putting all this together.
Correct. And we, all our nurses are certified, board certified nurses and medics. The medics are, you know, CFD medics, or and our nurses are from all the big hospitals that you would know in Chicago.
Fantastic. And what do you have going on this Labor Day weekend?
This weekend, I'm doing a thing with Row for Kids. It's Row for Kids, R-O-W, with the number 4 kids.
Okay.
With Charles Tillman and Jake Beckley.
And what is Peanut doing?
So he's rowing a boat from St. Joseph's, Michigan, across Lake Michigan to Chicago.
Come on.
Yeah.
What?
Don't ask me. I don't know.
Does he have a trailer in the boat? I mean, is someone following him? Because Lake Michigan is like an ocean.
Well, that's what I'll be in a boat.
Oh, you will?
Different boat.
Okay.
They don't want to tow me around. So I'll be in a different boat, in the support boat, with Dr. Mary Beth Madonna, who was one of my attending surgeons at when I was at Children's up in Lincoln Park.
Right.
And she contacted me and said, you know, Jake Beckley, a friend of mine, is raising money with Charles Tillman for to help out families with critically ill children.
Oh, my gosh.
And she said, hey, would you mind helping out? And I said, and with the idea they would get IVs. So they came in and got a couple IVs yesterday, and because they've been training like crazy, as you would imagine.
I can't imagine rowing from St. Joseph, Michigan to Chicago.
Yeah, Jake did it in 2016. It took him 20-some hours.
Oh, jeez, man.
So the two of them, they built a special boat themselves, and they got some sponsors, and people can go online and donate to help out families, you know, because it's a heavy burden on families when they...
Of course. Well, Peanut knows because I think it was his second child was at Children's, and he's always given back since then.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And this is a great thing. So I was initially the medical support, going to, you know, so making up a plan for them to get B shots and IVs and things like that, and then I'll be in the support boat.
What do you give them? Do you give them IVs while they're rowing?
Special sauce. you can.
What do you give them ahead of time? Or how about somebody that's running in a marathon? Can they come to you?
Yes, exactly. That's probably our busiest weekend is a marathon weekend.
Really? Mm-hmm. People show up and get IVs. What kind of IVs are they getting?
The athletic performance one. Which
contains what?
Fluids.
What's in there?
Fluids, the vitamin B complex again, vitamin C, glutathione, which is a super antioxidant that helps slow down muscle breakdown as you're working out.
God, I want that right now.
If you get it afterwards, it improves muscle recovery. Yeah, we throw some other things in there.
What does that mean? Some vodka?
No, some good stuff. Yeah.
IVMeChicago.com is your website. Dr. Jack is here. Tell me about the hormone therapy.
So we started doing that about 2 or 3 years ago.
All regulated by doctors, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah,
definitely.
Okay.
The company we work with is called BioT, and they were founded, I think, 17 years ago by a group of OB-GYNs.
Okay.
They came up with this plan of having natural hormone replacement. It's not the synthetic stuff. And so you're basically giving back the hormones to your body that you've lost over time.
So how does that work for a guy? I'm sure you do both sexes, right?
Correct.
Okay. How does that work for a guy?
You come in and you fill out a symptom sheet, how you're feeling. You
okay.
You have a checklist.
I mean, guys get older, they lose their testosterone, they get tired in the afternoon.
Correct.
You get tired,
your joints start aching, the muscle tone goes away.
Oh, my back hurts.
Yeah. All kinds of
can't
stuff.
Sleep at
just
night.
Just more and more complaints. And
right.
Guys, we're not the sharpest. You know, women are on top of things as far as their health.
We are
guys
dumb. Men are dumb,
you know,
Doc.
Guys will walk in, you know, with a big tumor growing out of their head.
Right.
You know, the only reason they come in is because they can't find a hat big enough to cover it.
Oh, my gosh.
Where women are really on top of their health, right?
Yes.
And they're in charge of taking care of the family.
Right.
And so women are more receptive to it and have been knowing about this kind of thing for a longer time. Now guys are just kind of cluing in more and more. And it just takes a little bit of nudging. You know, as you get, like I said, as you get older, you start to lose your testosterone and you start to get more and more of those symptoms.
Right.
Generally, what we do for that is that we just complain more to our friends. And that seems to make us feel better.
And this but is a natural way.
Yeah, it's so, natural testosterone.
So what's in the bag? What am I? What kind of IV am I getting?
It's not an IV.
Oh, it's not? No. Is it a shot?
They're pellets. They're little pellets that look like grains of rice that we put in your glute right where you get the shot.
Okay.
You put it in there.
Really?
A small little incision.
And what's it do?
Makes you feel awesome. And, well, the main thing is increases muscle tone and mass.
Okay, right.
And it'll lean you out. It'll give you a better body profile.
And this is natural? It's not like I'm taking steroids?
No.
Okay.
No, steroids, that's the guys shooting up stuff at the gym. And right. Like synthetically made.
I just wanted to make it clear for people that are listening
now. If you look at the testosterone we give you under a microscope with a testosterone that is naturally made by our bodies, the chemical structure is going to be exactly the same.
Okay.
So your body sees that as the same and it likes it.
So once you get this, do you have to keep going back? How does it work?
You don't have to, but it helps. It's kind of like, for someone who's taking a medicine, if it helps your cholesterol go lower, you have to keep taking the cholesterol medicine.
Does it kickstart your testosterone if you're a man, or estrogen if you're a woman?
No, it's replacing it, basically.
Okay.
So when you start to lose your testosterone, you go down to a lower level. And, the levels that they say are quote-unquote normal, it's a pretty wide range. You can have a threefold increase in testosterone and still be in the normal, quote-unquote.
Right.
So, tell me somebody who's at 250 is going to feel the same as somebody at 850.
You're right.
Even though those are both quote-unquote normal, depending on which
it is strange that you say that, because I went in for my physical and I always get, I always do the blood work and the whole deal, and you have to ask for your testosterone level.
Sure.
They don't do that. Why don't they just do that every time you go in for a physical? If you don't ask for it, you're not getting it.
No, because in medicine and medical school, they teach you we're basically stamping out disease. We're playing whack-a-mole with whatever diseases you may have. Instead of trying to prevent you from getting disease or make you feel better, has been for many years, decades, centuries, looked down upon as kind of, when medicine's first started a long time ago, it was just literally stamping out disease.
Right.
And now that we're getting hold of some things and we're getting a better understanding of how things work, down to the biochemical and genomic level, that we can start to do things to help prevent and to make you feel better.
When did we figure out that you can take blood from your own body, mix it up, and then inject it back in your body, and it's going to help it heal?
Oh, the blood doping?
Yes. By the way,
they probably figured out a while ago. They tried to do that kind of stuff all through the centuries.
I've done that, by the way.
Did you?
Not the doping thing, but they took blood out of my shoulder, and they injected it in my knee.
Okay, so they spun it out.
What do they spin it in? What is that thing?
A centrifuge?
Yeah.
Yeah, they spin it down and get out the component of the blood that'll make you heal.
Right.
And they isolate that, and it's concentrated, and then they inject it in, and it allows your body to heal quicker.
No one told me that the needle that goes into your knee is about 5 inches long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it stung.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hurt. That's rough stuff. Do you believe in that? Does that work?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's more
research, and there's different kinds of that, and there's different. You can do BMAC, which is bone marrow aspirate concentrate, where they actually harvest bone marrow from your iliac crest.
Really?
Yeah, and then that supposedly has some better benefits. So these are all evolving fields, and they're all great.
Right.
And they're helping you live a better life.
Yeah.
Really. Who says you have to be miserable and aching?
Exactly.
Pains and all that.
I mean, look at Andrew Luck. Here's a guy that retired because his body hurt and he wanted to give it a rest, and people, all the backlash. He got booed off the field in Indianapolis.
I heard people were throwing his jerseys away.
Yeah, they were throwing them on the field. We talked to our mutual friend, Lou Kanellis, earlier. Yeah. Lou said he was on the sidelines. People were taking off their jersey and throwing it on the field. So they spent $150 for this jersey and they just threw it away. These people are idiots. I just don't get it. This guy can't play at a high level. His body hurts, so he had to retire. Do you think he wanted to retire from football?
No, but I just don't get the people that... I mean, you absolutely love a guy. You spend a bunch of money to buy his jersey, specifically his jersey. You
cheer
love him.
For him.
You cheer for him. He's your favorite guy in the world. And then all of a sudden, just because he... I don't know. I don't get it.
He can't perform at a high level anymore, and he said, "I that's it. I can't let my team down, so I'm going to retire."
Yeah.
And then they throw him under the bus. Mm-hmm. Dr. Jack is here from the IV. By the way, the website is IV, two letters, me, Chicago.com. IVmeChicago.com. Besides the IVs, and of course, you talked about the hormone replacement, the B12 shot. You give a B12 shot. And you're going to give us a B12 shot tonight.
I am.
In the rear end.
We could do it in your arm, too, but...
Really?
Yeah.
I've had one, and I think I'm going to do the butt because I feel like
it's a bigger muscle. And
it would hurt.
Yeah,
Curtis, you're going to get it tonight.
Yeah, I'm going arm though.
Are you sure you want to do the arm? Because it's going to be sore.
That's totally fine with me.
Okay. He's a doctor. So the B12, Doc, the B12, before we take a break, what does the B12 do and what's in the shot?
It's B12 is in the B12 shot, Pete.
And what does B12 do to you?
B12, basically, it'll boost your energy up.
Okay.
It'll increase your metabolism. It'll help you sleep better. Right. It helps regulate mood, appetite, sleep.
Okay.
So it does a whole bunch of things that are good for you. It helps with, you know, through the mechanisms of helping with red blood cell production, also with helping with nerve production and
so how does
the myelin sheath.
How does the shot compare to taking supplements over the counter?
So if you're gastrointestinal, the GI tract, you know, the whole track from your mouth all the way down to the other side, basically it's pretty complex. B12, the absorption has to have a few steps. It's not straight line. You know, many things you take gets absorbed in your stomach, goes in the bloodstream, and that's it.
Yep.
B12, it comes bound to protein, so it's usually in meat, dairy, fortified grains, things like that. Come into your stomach, it has to be cleaved from the protein. That bond has to be broken by acid in your stomach. So if you don't have the right kind of acid in your stomach, that bond's not going to get broken, and it's just going to go out. So that you break that bond, and then something called intrinsic factor then attaches to the B12, and that complex together travels all the way down to your terminal ileum, which is the last part of your small intestine, down by in your right lower quadrant, down by where your appendix is.
Okay.
And that's where it gets absorbed across the bloodstream, and then those split up and go their separate ways, and the B12 can do what it needs to do. So if you have anything wrong with the acid production in your stomach, which we do as we get older, we have what's called atrophic gastritis. So you'll see older folks have a greater incidence of B12 deficiency. If you have something wrong with your intrinsic factors not being made right, if you have anything wrong with your lower intestinal tract, so if you have Crohn's or even ulcerative colitis or IBS or anything like that, any kind of GI upset, that can cause the absorption not to work as well as what it usually is.
Okay. I got a text message here. What about eating liver and meat for B12?
Those are great sources.
Wonderful.
But let's say I had a tumor and I have a resection of my terminal ileum, then it doesn't matter. It's going to just go through.
Right.
Because like I said, that's where it's absorbed in your body. So if you have some kind of, or vegans will have sometimes a hard time with it. So if you get the shots, then you're putting it right in the bloodstream.
I hope there's not going to be a test because you're
I do
getting...
too. I just took my boards again and I passed that, so I'm good to go.
Do doctors have to do that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I wanted to make sure.
They just don't let you out in the wild and let you do whatever you want.
Dr. Jack Dibas is here, IV Me Clinic, IVMeChicago.com from the IV Clinic. I was there a few weeks ago. You have nice clinics. You really do.
Thanks.
I've been to the one on Wells, and I've been to the one, what is that, State and Kinsey?
Yeah,
right there?
Yep,
next to the House of Blues.
Correct.
That's nice.
Thanks.
It's very soothing, too. Very zen.
Yeah, that's what we want.
Yeah.
You want to chill there.
It's
you
good
wanna,
stuff.
That'd be crazy.
All right, I'm going to take a break, and you're going to give us shots. Curtis, come on in the studio. Drop your pants or roll up your arm. It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Dr. Jack Dibas is in studio with us. ID Me Clinic is his business, and you can go to IVMeChicago.com. And because we're running out of time, he gave me the shot in my rear end off the air. How'd I do, Doc?
You did fabulously.
So what did you give me? You gave me the B12 shot.
I gave you B12. That is exactly right.
All right, B12. So to recap again, B12 does what?
Helps with energy.
Yep. So I'm going to have more energy when? Am I going to be able to go to bed tonight?
Usually kicks in. No, you should, although there is a very small subset
of patients. Oh, great. Now he tells me this. Now you tell me.
You're going to be like Kramer on Seinfeld. Yeah, I did have a little bit of it. Yeah, I feel like I got a lot of energy right now. So that I've heard a couple people, only two out of all the thousands and thousands and thousands we've given.
And you do this all the time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'll have more energy when? Tomorrow morning?
It usually kicks in about 12, 24 hours.
Okay. And then what happens? I don't need caffeine? I'm just going to feel ramped up?
You know, I can only speak from my personal experience.
Okay.
I noticed like a little bit of more energy like baseline, but I really noticed it when I was running on a treadmill and working out, where my exercise tolerance went through the roof.
Oh, fantastic.
Where I was just, you know, at my age, I kind of knew where I this is what I am,
right?
You know, at this point. And I was just going nuts on the treadmill, and the people in the gym were looking at me like I was crazy. What's gotten into you, kind of thing? And it's a vitamin, by the way.
Well, and the first time, vitamin. That's it.
Yeah, the first time I did it, I forgot that I had given it to myself.
Okay.
So I was freaked out. I'm like, who put what and where that I'm doing this? Did somebody dose me with something?
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't, and it was freaking me out. And then I finally remembered I did the B12. I still didn't believe it, though. And then, but then I just kept getting faster and faster and going further running. And
like the bionic man.
Yeah, it was like Steve Austin.
How often? Once a month?
I do it every 2 weeks.
Well, you're a doctor. You can do anything. But for the normal person?
I tell people every 2 to 4 weeks. It depends on how you feel.
Okay.
You know, you can kind of go with that. It's not going to hurt you.
So I need to have you back in 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So we can talk about it.
Exactly.
I like it. Yeah. Okay. All right, Curtis, are you ready?
I am ready.
I just got it in the rear end.
Yep.
So Curtis is getting it in his right arm. Hold on. Where is my... I lost my phone. It's around here somewhere. I was going to take a picture of you.
Have you been able to sit comfortably?
Yeah, it doesn't hurt that bad. Okay. It's not you like a tetanus shot.
You had these facial expressions. They were like...
I know. Yes. All right, Curtis is getting it in the right arm. So why do you do it in the rear end, Doc?
It's a bigger muscle.
Okay.
Bigger. You can get it in the deltoid or the glute.
All right.
They do call it the gluteus maximus.
The gluteus
they do.
Maximus. Okay. All right. That is a big needle. I'm glad I didn't look at it. Curtis, are you sure you want... Oh. How was it?
It doesn't hurt.
Okay.
It really doesn't.
It looks like you're getting Kool-Aid in your arm.
I know.
Yeah. There you
go.
Can't
burst through brick walls. All done. And just say, oh, yeah.
Looks like the gun shows out tonight, Curtis. Looking good, brother.
Nice.
Nice job.
I'm going to have extra energy when I go on vacation at the end of the week.
Dr. Jack, thank you for coming in. We'll have you in a few weeks. Kind of a follow-up to see how this B12 thing works out.
Sounds perfect.
I go to Vegas 2 weeks from Wednesday, so I'll stop by and get the five-hour IV.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a joke, folks. That is a joke. You can find Dr. Jack at ivmechicago.com. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
That does it for us. You guys have a great night, and we'll see you back here on Thursday.